And we'll just go ahead and we'll open up in prayer and just thank God for blessing our time here tonight. Father, we just thank you for everything that you've already done in this service, Father. We thank you that you have already moved in a mighty way. We thank you for revealing things to us, Father, here in an intimate way. And let us not take those things lightly, just as you have cautioned us. Let us not take them lightly, Father, but let us put them into our hearts deep, Father. Let them be in deep ground in our hearts, and that we will water it, Father. Not only we will let you water it with your Holy Spirit, but Father, continue to fertilize and water it, Father, with your word, so that it may grow into fruition, Father, to what you have called it to grow into. And we just thank you for continuing to be with us as always and at all times. And we praise you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I'll be quite honest. I'm not a real spur-of-the-moment planner sometimes. So I was really freaking out yesterday because I knew I had to teach tonight, and I've never been a real right-on-the-spot type of thing. So, yeah, no doubt. It's definitely some growing pains for me. But you know, I was putting Kara to bed last night, and one of the things that I do is nightly I'll put her to bed, but at the same time when I'll rock her in a little rocking chair, and I'll pray over her, and I'll just pray in the Spirit. And you know, one of the things that really came out in my heart and in my mind when I was just praying was dependence. You know, what are we depending on? And to have a word come forth that came forth tonight through the gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, was talking about our dependence upon God and the essence of when great things take place, we have to keep our mind set and our dependence set on Christ. Because it's a very dangerous thing when we start to get away from that, because when things start going right, and we all know that we've had those moments before where it's when things start going right, we think, hey, I can do this, I can do this, and then we fall flat on our face because we've lost our dependence upon God, because God is the one that makes things happen in our lives. God's the one that makes us victorious in life. God is the one that brings us through these troubles or any kind of tribulations that we have. And so I'm going to start here in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because this is basically exactly what we're talking about when Dan was talking about the vision that God had had for him and saying about how the tsunami of the Holy Spirit, the tsunami of the Spirit, or the move of God is going to take place. And like I said, not only nationally, but here right in our local congregation, we're just buying part of that. If it's going to go internationally, it's going to happen right here too. Because that same anointing will be here upon this building and upon this church as it will be when people go out of this congregation to minister the Word of God. And no better man to talk about the revelation that God had given him than Paul. You know, Paul had been given so much more revelation, and I mean, just by sheer volume, I guess you could say, just by in the New Testament, about how much Paul wrote about the grace of God and about the work of Christ and everything that he had done. He had got such great revelation from God. And the key to his continuing to have these great things, because he even talks about in other passages about not coming just in great word or anything like that, but indeed in manifesting in the power of God. It was the move of God and it was the power of God that manifested among those people, to where when you start seeing a ministry take on a face of power and a face of, you know, mighty miracles take place, it can be easy for that person to start getting into the flesh of being like, the people want to come see me. You know, they want to come see me do these things. But when it's God actually doing these things through him and through that individual. So that's kind of what we, as a highlight of what we're going to talk about tonight. So we'll start here in verse 1, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows. how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted beyond above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So as you can see, Paul obviously could see the revelation that God was giving him. And he could see the way it would be very easy for other people to start to say different things about him. Just as he says in verse 9, or in verse 6, he says, but I will refrain from speaking these things, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. You see, people in that same day or in our day today, it would be easy to exalt somebody and try to put them on a pedestal. But Paul was just saying, I do not want people to do that for me because I want to be grounded in Jesus. I want to be grounded in God. I want to remain having him as my personal dependence and let him be the one I count on at all times. And so we see as you continue on, let's go in verse 9 where it says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, these things that God had revealed to him were not only powerful for him, but powerful for the people that he touched. And the things that are going to happen here and in our vicinity and in the near term, there are going to be things that are going to be great revelations to us, but they will also have the power that as they go forth, they will change other people's lives as well. But the main thing that we have to be reminded of is that we do need to only and solely depend upon Christ, not only for the revelation, but we need to depend on Christ no matter what goes on in our life. That's why as he's going on here and he's talking about in verse 10, take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses, you know? And all of those things that you guys go through and that I go through and that Paul went through, he took pleasure in that, not necessarily thanking God that, haha, yes, I'm glad that I have these things take place in me, but it was a reminder to him of how needful Christ is and how much he needed Christ, how much that Christ's grace covered every single one of those things that he went through. Every single one of those things that he went through, he was complete in Christ. Two times in this passage, you see where it talks about God was speaking to Paul and saying that my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then in verse 10, it says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, the secret to success is to finding true strength in Jesus. The secret to biblical success and to anything that you take on in your life personally is going to be finding who your true strength is. Where does that come from? Who does it come from? And it comes from Christ. And our favor comes from God. Our blessing comes from God. When you walk in divine health, that does not come out of your own personal goodness. That comes out of the gift and the blessing that God has given us. That comes through all of these things. And it's one of those times where we have to be reminded of the fact that we need to be weak so that we can be made strong in Christ. It's not a bad thing to have weaknesses. It's not a bad thing to have these little thing or little hang-ups or whatever. What's bad is when you try to depend on your own will and your own ability to do something to overcome it. That's when the struggle starts coming in, is when you start to depend upon yourself. And that's why he's saying to be reminded of it and say, you know, God's grace is sufficient for me. You know, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Let's take that last piece of verse 10 where it says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." When you start to flip these things around, like that sentence, when you flip it around, you can say in another way, just say, "For when I am strong, then I'm weak." So in my mind, if I think that I'm strong, I'm basically just setting myself up for trouble. So that when we have things that go right in our lives, if you start to take on that prideful stance of saying, "That's right, I'm good. You know, I do things right. I'm doing good. God, I don't really need God's help or anything like that." It's very important that we remind ourselves to stay grounded in Christ. Because just as, you know, you can't have a house, you can't have a life, you know, so to speak, in the spiritual sense, without a foundation. You can't pull it up off of the foundation and expect it to stand, you know. So as a spiritual life, you have to build upon the solid foundation of Christ. And when you start to take it off of that foundation, just think of it, if you want to close your eyes or if you don't want to close your eyes, just think about it as in a visual sense of taking a house that's built upon a slab. And if they take that house and they move it and they start sliding it over, the slab stays where it's at. So the foundation is set, it's fixed, wherever it is. And if we start moving that house off that foundation, it starts to tip. You start moving it all the way off, the weight of that house will crumble. I mean, it'll just all crumble and fall to pieces. Just in that same sense in our spiritual life, when we start moving, we start shifting things a little bit off of Christ or across that foundation, we start sliding it off, thinking that we can do it on our own. We start pushing it all the way off, and then everything just falls apart, and we wonder why it happened. It was because we didn't remain Christ-focused. We didn't remain Christ-dependent upon our foundation. And that's what's so important about, even if we want great things from God in our life, we have to be reminded of the fact that we have to stay grounded upon Christ and in Christ and in God if we want anything to last in our lives. You know, relationships, your spiritual walk with God. I mean, everything has to be based purely upon Jesus Christ. And you know, even though Paul, just as he was writing here in verse 10, talking about the reproaches and needs and persecutions, he takes pleasures in those things because of one thing. And I'm going to turn to Philippians real quick. And in chapter 4, just verses 8 and 9, I'll just read it real quick. And he's telling other brethren what to do when these things come upon you. I mean, when these stresses, when these problems, infirmities. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true," which is the Word of God, amen? The Word of God is true. It says, "Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You know, the good report that he's talking about, basically, just think about the Word of God. The gospel is the good report, talking about us being delivered from any of these things, delivered from the curse of the law, delivered from sickness, delivered from disease. I mean, all of these things are worthy to think about. And that's why when you start going through things in your life, this type of a verse should be right in the forefront of your mind to say, I should not be focusing on what I'm going through. I should be focusing on what the Word of God says. Because he says, whatever things are true. If you hold tight to the things that are true rather than the things that are based off an emotional response or a physical response, so to speak, then you will remain grounded on Christ and you will receive the fruits that Christ promised us to get when we live upon the Word. It's just like when you sow the Word of God in your life, you're going to reap the things that the Word of God promises. If you sow your own thoughts, your own emotional desires and everything into your life, you're going to reap those things that aren't going to follow up with the fruits of the Spirit. So let's go on here in verse 9. It says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, it's easy to be at peace when you know what's coming, you know, when you know what's going to happen. Because I know a lot of people, when they feel, when they get in, or when they have troubles or whatever, they end up getting a little bit stressed out and they're worried about what's to come. But when we focus on Jesus and we know that what he has, he says, I know you. You know, I've got plans for you. You know, you remain for such a time as this. I've got things already lined out for you. And whatever, and God says that he orders the steps of a righteous man, amen? Or a righteous woman. Whatever the case might be, God orders those steps and he has a plan for your life. And so if you're trusting in God, those steps are already there. Those things are already there, and God will lead you, and there's no reason to stress about it. So we have to remind ourselves to be focused on this. And one thing that just popped into my head, you know how, I don't know if anybody remembers or not, but it was probably a couple months ago when I spoke about the the parable of the four different soils, and Dan referenced it tonight about the rocky ground and how it's, you know, basically shallow and it'll, you know, can receive it with joy, but then when the persecutions of the world come upon you, you know, you lose those things. And those things are taken away, they're snatched away. And one thing that I remember of it was talking about how this was one of those parables that it's crucial to understand that parable so that you prepare yourself to receive what the Word of God has to say in other areas. And this is what, and it just popped into my mind again here in verse 9 where it says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me." You see, he's already talking to these people like the things that you have already learned, that you have taken into your heart. He said that you have received, because it's just like when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, it's not just a surface, you know, mouthing of the words or anything like that. It is believing in your heart. It's having those things sown deep down inside. So he says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." So when we actually receive those things into our life, when we actually bear, we will see the fruits bared in our life when we start to receive what the Word of God has to say for us, when we start letting it be so deep down inside of our hearts. Now let's bounce back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In the last verse, just one last little comment that I know I and some people might not take it the same way, but here in verse 10 where it says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake." What Christ did on the cross, what Christ did in his life was definitely not meaningless. And the fact is that when we take pleasure in what we go through because Christ has already delivered us from those things. Christ has already done those things. So when we take pleasure, it gives us an opportunity to depend upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. It gives us that opportunity to continue to depend on him. So we know that these little reminders of our imperfections are good because it shows us that our perfect nature will only be found in Christ. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, please. So in Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." You know, the things that Christ went through obviously were just as the temptations as we went through. Those things that he encountered, not only just with Satan, but within daily life, he was tempted in the same way, but the coolest part about it is the end of verse 15 where it says, "Yet without sin." He never gave in to those things. And so with Christ, since Christ is with us at all times, we don't have to give in to those weaknesses either. Whether or not sometimes we think, well, it's just our nature to be that way, or it's just, you know, different things in our life, we're like, well, I'm conditioned to respond that way. Well, now that you are in Christ, even though you're tempted to lash out in anger, even though you're tempted to do these different things, you don't have to, because Christ, if he is the one you're depending on, He will give you strength in those times of weaknesses. Just like when he had a time of weakness, he had strength from the Lord in order to not give in to that sin, in order to not have those problems. But Jesus came through without sin and went through every single one of those things. And because of that, because he didn't sin, because he was the sinless being, in verse 16 it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Your time of need is any time that you're going through something, and it should be every single day. Because our time of need, you know, just as it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." God, Jesus is the bread of life. Therefore, we should take Jesus every single day. We should take him in, invite him into our lives, allow him to be in us so that we can be perfected through him. You know, there's never any perfection in us without Jesus. So when we have Jesus, we can be perfect. We can walk that way. We can walk in a way that doesn't necessarily conform to this world, because he went through those same temptations, yet he was without sin. So therefore, when we have these same temptations, he can help us through those things to not make those same mistakes that we would have done in the past in our life. Christ can help us make up those things, and Christ can continue to do that. And you're only going to find grace at the throne of grace, which is Jesus' feet. You will only find the grace through Jesus Christ. And this confession that it's talking about, and the one thing that's so needful to be reminded of is just as we were talking about in Philippians chapter 4, but holding fast to those things that are of good report, those things that are noble, of praiseworthy, that are true. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And if our confession is him, he should be our Savior, our source, our deliverer, the person that we depend on at all times." Our dependence should always be upon Jesus Christ. And I know that sometimes it's tough to do that because we sometimes think, we sometimes just easily are distracted into doing different things in our life that we would just normally do on a daily basis. But we need to try to remind ourselves to invite Jesus into every moment of our lives. Because when God is in every moment of your life, you will be reminded of loving people the way God wants you to love them. You'll be reminded of being patient with that person. You'll be reminded of forgiving them and letting those things go on. And God will help erase bad memories from your life. If he's delivered you from sickness, he can deliver you from emotional stress of the past. He can deliver you from anything that you've gone through in your life that might be bringing you back into depression or anything like that. Jesus already paid the price for both emotional, physical, everything. Restoration. You know, God is a God of reconciliation, to bring things back, basically back into being true with one another. I mean, back into being, on a level playing field once again. So if you've gone through things, I just encourage you the fact that depend upon Christ for this, because Christ will definitely and continually bring you through every single one of your trials. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and this will be the last section of scripture that we're going to go through tonight. But the thing that I want you to get so far is just the fact that even though good things can happen in your life and great revelations and great miracles being worked in your life or in the ministry or anything like that, it's always important to keep your mind and keep your heart in check to realize where that success came from, to realize where the power of God came from. And it's through Christ, it's through Jesus, it's through his finished work, not anything. That's why it says it's by the gift of grace, lest anyone should boast. We shouldn't boast about any of these things, because the only reason why these things are taking place is because of the grace of God and because of the move of Jesus and because of his obedience and because of his ability to be tempted in the same way that we were, yet not sin. You know, because he was the sinless being, he was a righteous being, and so when he came into this world, he was able to be that complete substitution for us. Amen. To where he received our sin, we exchanged, and we got his righteousness. Amen. I would say we got the sweet end of the deal, amen? Amen. So I know I'm pretty excited about that. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, like I said, in verse we'll start in verse 30. And yet again, just another thing that, I mean, God was talking about just earlier in this service, talking about being victorious in battle, being victorious in these things because of the faith. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you haven't read it recently, I would encourage you to read it, because chapter 11 just talks about the faith. I mean, basically, people have referred to it as the Hall of Faith, or, you know, however you want to refer to it. But it's talking about the people in the Bible that had great faith in God and just trusted in God. And when He gave them a word, they clung to it and they went forth and they did what He asked them to do. And they were always pleased with the results with these things. Because if God told them to do something, said, "I will deliver an enemy into your hand," He would deliver the enemy into their hand. I mean, that was just the part of it that was so cool about God, is that He never lied to them. And He's not lying to us when He tells us that the work is finished in Jesus. So in verse 30 it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, but she had received the spies with peace," or when she received the spies with peace. "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong." See, out of their weakness, they were made strong through God and through trusting in Him. "Became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us." You know, I look at this and see the mighty things that God did in these people's lives. And just by the work of God, and by them obeying, and by them trusting in God and doing what He said. You know, if you looked in our present world, if the Lord told our president to march their people around a city and the whole thing would just crumble, the president would probably think he's crazy, you know, and say, "That's not going to work," or anything like that. And I'm sure they probably had a thought in their mind that said, "This is nuts. We're just going to walk around a city and shout and these things are going to fall down. Like, that's nuts. That's crazy." But the fact is they said, you know, if God told us, just as Caleb and Joshua, if God told them that they were going to inherit this promised land, it didn't matter what was in their path, they were going to inherit it. So just as this case with, the walls of Jericho, they fell down after just being walked around, okay? They didn't go and beat on the walls. They just walked around these walls and shouted, and these things fell down, okay? And you guys remember the stories of Samson and of Gideon, and Gideon whittling down his army down, you know, to a minuscule amount, to where he went in and there was no way that they could have won without the hand of God. So sometimes there are things that seem a little bit more, you know, insurmountable for us, and things that are a little bit higher or bigger in front of our eyes that we think that is not possible. But thank God that we've got Jesus to carry us through those things. We've got Jesus to carry us through those times and also just deliver us through them. And it just continues to go on here. But the greatest thing about this is, let's go to verse 33. It says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." You know, subdued, completely dominated kingdoms through their faith in God. "Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. This is just through faith and believing in God that they were able to do these things. So when they saw, and they obviously are a great example for us to where if we're weak in something, by depending upon God, by depending upon Jesus, we can be made into something that was completely different than what we think of ourselves as being. So as these people, if they thought they were weak, they were made strong through the faith in God. And as we go on in verse 36, it says, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. God had a better covenant for us. God has a better promise for us. He continues to bring those things forth in our lives. And through Christ and through that faith, depending upon Christ, great things will take place. But when we start to think that we're strong in our own strength, that's when we set ourselves up for those moments of weakness. You know, great things and miracles were simply a result of people taking God at His word face value, rather than thinking that He had a different motive or there was something that there obviously had to be a catch. They took God's word at what it was. If God told them to do something, they did it. So for us, if we're sick, if we don't feel good, what does God's word tell us to do? It tells us to come, get the elders of the church, you know, anoint them with oil. The prayer of faith will heal them. Faith in Christ, faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is what will see those things take place. When we depend upon that finished work, when we depend upon His strength, and don't mind being weak in something, and continue to remind ourselves that we have been forgiven of so much that we are weak to the point that we need Christ at all times. No matter how well things are going in our life, Christ must be center and must be the dependent thing that we lean on. Amen? Well, let's just go ahead and bow our heads tonight. And I just hope that that ministers to you to just be a reminder of just how great and mighty God is and the fact that we just need to lean upon Him no matter how big or how small the thing is that we're going through. Father, we just thank You for tonight. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You, Lord, that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank You, Father, that we have the light of Jesus Christ inside of our hearts, and we just want to let that light shine, Father. But know that we are, that even though during our weakest times, Father, we are made strong through You. We are made strong in Jesus. We are made strong by our faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work and what He has done and what He has accomplished for each and every one of us. And we just thank You here tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.